It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A year-long residency program where artists are placed in schools is leaving artists and students alike learning valuable lessons.
They went from a point where they weren't necessarily looking to get involved in something to taking ownership of something that they created from scratch that had all of their heart and their soul in it.
We'll have that story coming up in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A reported attack on a Black gay man in Morgantown over the Memorial Day weekend has sparked reaction from the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community, as well as renewed attention on West Virginia's hate crime laws. Dave Mistich has more.
According to a report filed with the Morgantown Police Department, Jared Rote said he was walking home from downtown toward his residence in the South Park neighborhood when he was attacked from behind on the Pleasant Street Bridge at about 3:45 a.m. Monday. Rote, who is a drag performer in Morgantown's gay bar scene, said one of the suspects said, quote, "This is what you get," while the attack was in progress. According to the Human Rights Campaign, 31 states in the District of Columbia address hate or bias crimes based on sexual orientation or gender identity, with 11 of those only addressing sexual orientation. West Virginia's hate crime law does not address sexual orientation or gender identity. Fairness West Virginia, a statewide civil rights advocacy organization, called the attack on Rote, quote, "horrifying," and says it is an example of why West Virginia's hate crime law needs to be updated. Democrats in the House of Delegates tried repeatedly but failed to bring various LGBTQ rights-focused legislation to the floor this past session. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
West Virginia University will host an NCAA baseball regional tournament this weekend for the first time in 64 years. Jesse Wright has more.
The 15th-seeded WVU Mountaineers earned a spot in the NCAA championship this past weekend. That's despite losing 5-2 to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship final. It's the 13th time in school history that the Mountaineers have made it to the NCAA baseball tournament and the first time since 2017. WVU last hosted an NCAA event in 1955 when Wake Forest won a best-of-three series 2-1 in the NCAA District 3 championship. According to a WVU news release, the four-team NCAA Morgantown Regional will take place Friday through Monday at the Monongalia County Ballpark. Texas A&M and Duke will meet in Friday's first game at 4 p.m. WVU will play Fordham at 8 p.m. That game airs on ESPN3. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
An art residency program that places professional artists in classrooms wrapped up its second year of implementation in northern West Virginia. Glennis Board dropped in on an in-school reception at John Marshall High School in Marshall County and brings us this report.
Students here at John Marshall High School dressed up for the reception. They met with teachers and community members in a ground-level hallway with floor-to-ceiling windows that look out onto a grassy plot of ground behind the school. That's where their art installation is planted. Faith Ward walked outside through the exhibit.
It is a visual expression of passage through life. And by passage, I mean like phases in life, like birth, life, and death.
Ward is one of four juniors who worked over the last school year to imagine and create this installation. The project was inspired by the Adena people, who built the six-story tall burial mound that gives nearby Moundsville its name. Wooden stakes wrapped in colored cloth are sticking up out of the grass, arranged in three circular clusters, one representing birth, another life, and a third, death and rebirth, as Asher Goddard, another student involved in the project, describes.
Well, what I'm looking at right now is the life piece, and there are different size sticks that range from 5 feet to 2 feet. There are different colors on each of the sticks, from yellow to orange to dark colors. We have them ranged in a very non-rhythmic pattern. It's kind of messy and just like life is.
The death and rebirth cluster actually has a flower planted in the earth at its center, a freshly bloomed red and white carnation. The students call the exhibit Passage, But their mentor and professional guide, Michael McCowan, says it could have been called process.
Every time we had a challenge, someone came up with an idea of how we could face that challenge or what we could do. And towards the end of the project, the last couple of weeks, they made all the choices. They made all the decisions. They did all that work. They went from a point where they weren't necessarily looking to get involved in something to taking ownership of something that they created from scratch that had all of their heart and their soul in it.
Students like Goddard had no reservations talking about how difficult they found the class.
It was an interesting experience. We did get frustrated a few times when things didn't work out our way, to the point where we almost wanted to quit. But again, like Faith said, life is about challenges. This whole project was a challenge all up until the day we finished it. And it was just really nice to finally overcome it and see what we created.
This is the second year McCowan has participated as an artist in residence. He says creating the installation with students at John Marshall was an emotional roller coaster that culminated periodically on days when students would sit in a circle with him, tediously building each cloth-covered stake, sharing stories about their lives.
Even though it's great if they pick up some kind of skills or they're able to learn how to fabricate something, they just wanted someone to listen and someone to hear who they were, hear their story. Like, they're working jobs, they're taking care of their other family members. They're bearing a much heavier burden than I ever did in high school.
The Rural Arts Collaborative Residency Program began 7 years ago in southwestern Pennsylvania. This is the second year schools in the Upper Ohio Valley have participated. Residencies here are funded through the Ogilvie Institute in Wheeling. Danielle McCracken is the president of the institute. She says her organization became interested in supporting the program because it enhances arts curriculum in schools, and also because the program has impacted cognitive and social development and academic performance in schools in Pennsylvania.
Once they're engaged in the classroom with the arts, they realize that it's such an important learning tool. Mm-hmm. It's beyond the final product, but it's about the process. Mm-hmm. It's about connections. It's about challenges and thinking creatively to solve problems, which I think is really important to all of us, but certainly for kids to be creative problem solvers and yeah. to be able to communicate and collaborate, and really that is at the heart of this Rural Arts Collaborative program.
The Rural Arts Collaborative is funded by the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation and has received additional funding from Chevron, the Community Foundation of Fayette County, the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, and EQT. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Glendale, West Virginia.
During this year's legislative session, West Virginia lawmakers passed a bill that requires all state-funded institutions begin sourcing 5% of the food they serve from local producers. The idea is to support the state's farmers and allow them to expand, as well as boost access to healthy, fresh food. But although West Virginia is home to a lot of farms, getting the food they produce to the people who consume it can be a challenge. Energy and Environment reporter Brittany Patterson digs in to see how this new bill might work.
On a recent Monday, students at James Monroe High School in Monroe County are eating French bread pizza, corn, beans, and mixed fruit. And they have not one, not two, but three salad options.
We had the spinach salad with cherry tomatoes. That was with the menu, and that's what's on the line here. And then the salad case is for the kids that would just like to have a salad instead of the meal. And then out here is the second option of how if they want to just build their own salad.
Kimberly Gessler is the high school's head cook. This year, the school's salad greens and vegetable accoutrements have come from farms in the region. She says it's been a big hit.
We hear that these foods look so much better put together. They love the way the salads look.
James Monroe is one of a handful of schools in West Virginia partnering in a program that helps get local food into schools. But under a new bill the state legislature passed this year, beginning July 1st, All state-funded institutions, including all West Virginia schools, will be expected to purchase a minimum of 5% of fresh produce, meat, and poultry products from West Virginia producers.
This bill is a really great way to invest in West Virginia communities, but also West Virginia agriculture and farmers.
Spencer Moss heads the nonprofit West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition, which supported the bill. West Virginia has a rich farming culture and one of the highest concentrations of family-owned farms in the country, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But a majority of farms aren't very big. The average farm size in West Virginia is just 157 acres, and that's challenging in a few ways.
In West Virginia, we often talk about there being a chicken and an egg issue with regards to agriculture. So we know, especially in fruits and vegetables and produce production, that we have a very low supply. And that's geography related, it's labor related, but it's also market demand related. So farmers need a market if they're going to scale up their operation.
Ma says bringing the demand of state-funded institutions to the table could help.
And so what this bill does is it creates a rather large market, actually, so farmers can look at scaling up.
And if farmers are making more money, they're spending more money. And that is good for the state's economy.
If I'm spending my money with a farmer in Monroe County, and I'm investing $1, it's actually going to come back in that community somewhere between $1.40 and $1.80. Whereas if I'm investing a dollar in a company that's not based in West Virginia, doesn't use West Virginia product, you know, that money's just gone. It just leaves our communities.
But while this bill creates a new market for locally grown food, getting that food to big state institutions poses a challenge.
The prices are higher, logistics are tougher. You know, it's not what they're used to.
Fritz Bettner is the director of food systems for Turnrow Appalachian Food Collective. This so-called food hub aggregates product from about 75 farmers across southern West Virginia and beyond, and helps get it into the hands of people, businesses, and schools. Remember, the bulk of West Virginia's farms are small and may not grow enough to meet the demand of, say, a prison or state agency. Those institutions may need to get products from multiple farmers, and that is not what they're used to.
When they order up a large U.S. Foods truck, they can get everything that they need, from bananas to limes to lettuce, and all we have are sort of like seasonal products.
Bettner says Turnrow and other local food distributors across the state are excited by the possibility of selling to more state-led institutions.
You know, you need to have that diversity of markets in West Virginia, because you can't survive on one.
But he says even if food hubs can bridge the gap between local farmers and these big contracts, locally grown food costs more.
You know, everyone has to work in budgets that are given to them.
There should be less waste. They should be able to have a little bit more carryover.
West Virginia Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leinhard acknowledges local foods might cost more up front. But local lettuce hasn't spent a week in a refrigerated truck. He says it's fresher, more appealing, and should last longer.
So in the end, it may even save money to the institutions.
The State Department of Agriculture is in charge of writing the rules for how this new law is carried out and enforced. But Leinhard says the bill doesn't provide any new funding to do that.
This is another unfunded mandate that we're going to we're gladly to pick up the mantle and do it, but it's going to strain our resources a little bit.
Still, Leinhard says he's excited by the possibilities.
I believe once we get all the rules in place, I think that the economic development and the return to the state through that economic development will help more than offset the cost.
Back at James Monroe High School, lunch is winding down. The self-serve salad bar looks like a tornado blew through it. That makes head cook Kimberly Gussler smile. She says she'd love to see more schools offer locally sourced foods.
I think it would be a great thing for them. I really do. For kids to get more nutrition through their meals, because the fresh food is the best food.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Monroe County, West Virginia.
In that story, we spoke with the West Virginia Food and Farm Coalition. They are a financial supporter of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.